There's a power for good in the universe, and you can use it.
Every Sunday, we invite you to join us in listening to a series of inspirational programs featuring Dr. Ernest Holmes, noted author and spiritual leader in
This Thing Called Life.
Now it is my pleasure to present Dr. Ernest Holmes.
Friends, when we are talking about this thing called life, we are talking about the power that makes everything go. We are talking about a power that is within you and around you and through you. We are talking about a power that you can learn how to use for definite purposes, for better health, for more happiness, and for greater success. And there is a way to use this power. This is what I want to talk about today. How to solve your problems by using divine guidance in your everyday living. Did you ever stop to think that your own mind is the only thing you can know of that knows the meaning of life? This means that somewhere back in your mind, there is a place where you are one with the mind of God. There is a place in everyone where this thing called life enters and can, if we will let it, guide us to the solution of our problems. To find this place, to discover this power, and to learn even in the simplest way how to use it, would be the greatest thing that could happen to you or to anyone else. At first, you may say this is too good to be true. How is it that possible that I could be hooked up with the mind of God, that I could really call on it for the little things in my life? Does seem like a big order, doesn't it? And yet in doing so simple a thing as turning on an electric light, we are using a universal law for a definite purpose. And why should it seem any more strange to think that you are one with the mind of God than it is to know that you live and move and have your being in a gravitational force that holds everything in place? You are not that force, but you do use it. The mind of God is the only mind there is. And because this thing called life has entered into us, we are all using the mind of God, whether we know it or not. This is why Moses said that the word is in our own mouth, by which he meant the life of God. It is not afar, but in our own mouth. This is something to think about, don't you think? When you say there is one life, and that life is God, and that life is my life now, you are speaking the truth. And when you say there is one mind, and that mind is God, and that mind is my mind now, you are also speaking the truth. For each is an individual in this infinite mind. It is the most natural thing in the world to turn to the mind of God for guidance. And it is equally natural for divine guidance to come to the one who expects it. But you may ask, how can I expect an infinite mind to be interested in my little affairs? Again, let us find an illustration from those natural laws which are so common to us that we accept them as a part of our everyday living. When you breathe air into your physical lungs, you are breathing the same air that the cat or the dog breathes. And this air is common to all men, all animals, and all plant life. Nothing can live without it. When you speak of the breath of life, you are speaking of a universal breath. You are speaking of the breath of nature. You are talking about the way this thing called life works in you and in everything. And you don't say that the breath of life is big or little, are hard to get at. You don't say, why should the breath of life be concerned with me? You take it for granted that it is there and available, and you breathe it. Nothing is big and nothing is little to God. Nothing is hard and nothing is easy. The one power and presence flows through everything, animates everything, manifests itself in everything, and is everything. The idea that you are one with the mind of God is not foolish at all. Rather, it is a simple statement of a self-evident fact. The mind that creates and governs everything is the mind you are using this moment. The problem resolves itself into a very simple one. The mind of God already has entered into you, and you had nothing to do with it. This is the gift of heaven. And to me, this is the most wonderful thought of all, to realize that my life is the gift of this thing called life, that when I was born, this life was already here. I had nothing to do with it. This we have always accepted without even trying to figure out what it really means. We have always taken it for granted that we are alive and that the life that flows through us is not something we thought up or brought about or created. This is what Jesus meant when he said, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He didn't say God is bargaining with you to see whether or not you are worthy to inherit his kingdom. He said, "Behold, it is at hand. Enter into it. Learn how to live the more abundant life. Have faith in it." And now we are getting the proposition where we can handle it. It is no longer vague or far off. For this proposition is not one of going in search after God or of trying to unite your mind with the mind of God as though there were some great big secret about it. It is one of acceptance. And even this doesn't call for any great stretch of your imagination. For you have already accepted every other law in nature as commonplace facts in your everyday life. You are merely going to add to what you already accept something so important, something so far-reaching, that it can change your whole life. For out of failure it can create success. From fear, hope may rise. Sadness and grief can be turned into joy, and unhappiness into a state of mind that makes everything in your life glad. But you want something more than a theory, no matter how high-sounding this theory may be. You don't want to leave your theories up in the air where they can't be used for practical purposes. You and I want to know what to do today and what to do tomorrow. Life has put something in us which demands that we live creatively, that we live happily, and that we actually get a kick out of life. And we all want to bring this dream down to earth. We want hope to pass into realization and ideas into accomplishment. And we do so sincerely wish to be led of the Spirit. We wish to feel the protecting presence of a power greater than we are, and the power to which all things are possible. Let us then see how we might proceed in the fulfillment of our heart's desire. Let us start with the simple thought that God is all there is, and this allness includes your own life. For you are some part of it. It is right where you are. You can call on it and it will answer. We are no longer thinking of the mind of God as something far away. We are thinking of it in an intimate way. And next, we must believe that with God all things are possible. Therefore, anything is possible to us, provided, of course, our desires are in line with good. And they are always in line with good when we desire the same good for others that we do for ourselves. And if you can say sincerely to yourself, "I wish only that which gives more life to myself and more life to others. I wish only that which is good and true," you need never worry whether or not God wishes the same thing for you. As a matter of fact, God decreed your good long before you were ever born. The answer to every human problem already exists in the mind of God. And you are in the mind of God. And the mind of God is flowing through you at this very moment. This you must accept. And accept it with enthusiasm. Accept it as you would accept the best news you ever heard, and having accepted it, use it. Your problem is not in trying to find the place where divine guidance comes from, so much as it is in the simple acceptance that it comes in your own mind, that it is right here. The kingdom of God is at hand. No, your difficulty will not be what most people think it is, for it resolves itself into this very simple thought. If divine guidance is going to work for me, it will have to work through me. And since my relationship to it is a thing of thought, a thing of faith and of conviction, I shall have to start by learning to control my thinking and control my thoughts in such a way that divine guidance can flow through me to the solution of any problem I have. Therefore, instead of thinking of your problems, you must think of their answers. Instead of saying, I have a problem and I don't know what to do about it, affirm, I have an opportunity for self-expression, and God does know what to do about it. The thing to be certain of is that your mind affirms the answer rather than denies it. You are to affirm that the answer to every problem in your life already exists in the mind of God, that the mind of God is right where you are. It is within you now. And since the mind of God must always know the answer to every problem, you can know the answer to all the problems in your life. Just keep it simple as this. For this is the keynote, just a simple childlike acceptance that God always knows what to do. God never makes mistakes. Affirm, then, that God in you not only knows what to do, he causes you to do what is best in your life. Be willing to take a little time each day for meditation and prayer. Learn to have patience with yourself. Be buoyant and hopeful. Be enthusiastic. And try to feel that the gift of life is already made. You are merely accepting it just a little at a time. Take time out for this. It is the most important thing you will ever do. Then, as you go about your daily life, have a calm sense that you are being guided. And if thoughts of discouragement or thoughts of failure come to you, don't fight them too hard. Don't struggle against them too much. Just say to them, now you get out. You don't belong to me at all. You are no part of me. And having thrown out the negative thought, begin to think in an opposite way. And for every thought that says, I cannot, you say, I can, because God can. And for every thought that says, I don't know how, say, but there is something that does know how. And for every thought that says, you are alone struggling against the world, you say, I am not alone. I am one with God. I am not struggling at all. I am in partnership with the only power there is. You do this, I know you're going to have a wonderful experience. And I'm going to love to hear about it. For the joy I get out of these talks I have with you is the joy of the feeling that is growing within you and within me, that there is something in the universe greater than we are, and yet it is the very breath of our own life. It is the life of our own life. It is a power upon which we may call, a power so close to us that it is nestled in the secret place of the Most High, within our own souls. And we all know that they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Now Dr. Holmes brings us his meditation for today.
Prayer and meditation help us to draw closer to the divine presence and to enter into conscious communion with it. Prayer and meditation arrive at the highest point of power when all doubt and fear are put aside. Let us then shut everything else out of the mind for a few moments as we quietly affirm the divine presence and believe that God is guiding us. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. This is the keynote of today's meditation. And now, as we enter into conscious communion with the divine spirit, let each think of some problem in his own life which he would like to have solved. Let him consciously take this problem into his thought, not as a problem, but as though he were receiving the answer. As we go on with our meditation, I am bringing all my problems to the altar of faith, and I know that every true desire of my heart will be fulfilled through the power of love. My first desire is that I shall give joy to everyone around me. I wish the healing power of love to flow through me to everyone. I believe that divine guidance is guiding, guiding and directing my thoughts and my acts. I believe that God already knows the answer to my problems. And therefore, I am letting go of the problem as though it were difficult, and I am listening to the answer as though it were sure. I confidently wait on divine guidance, and I expect to be guided. I joyfully accept this guidance. I am open to new ideas, to new thoughts, new hopes, and new aspirations. And this, which so recently seemed a problem, no longer exists, for the mind of God, which knows the answer, is quietly flowing through my thought and feeling. A great peace, a great joy comes over me as I accept this answer from the giver of all life.